This is Chris Bleck on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Bleck and Abdallah podcast. It's presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
It's Bleck and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Bleck and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Welcome in to Bleck and Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. You can watch us on Twitch tonight. Search for the channel ESPN 1000 Chicago. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah and at Chris Bleck. We had some news earlier tonight. Throughout the day, we've been waiting for Rob Manfred to... Yes, the evil empire, the owners, his cronies... You know, I always picture when I hear the music, I picture Manfred leading the charge and all the owners flanking him left and right, moving through the big palace. You know, in Star Wars, the big open chambers, and they're just moving across the room.
Yeah.
So here comes Manfred tonight as Major League Baseball has announced. There was no news earlier. We were waiting for the news.
We waited like 3 hours.
Well, we were waiting for 3 hours on their program today.
We waited, so supposedly he was going to talk at
Manfred Submarine, the Waddle and Sylvie program earlier today.
At 2 o'clock or at 1 o'clock. And
he's
then
Submarine Sports Center. He was supposed to come on. He ditched them.
Mm-hmm. And then Jesse had to tell us about how he got bumped because Manfred got bumped.
Oh, poor Jesse.
Jesse. Yeah. And then he was supposed to talk at 4 in the 4 o'clock hour. And then, like, an hour went by, and another hour went by, and we started early tonight. And
you know, when the evil empire goes silent for an extended period of
time, that's when you have to worry the
most. Usually, that's when the Death Star is being put into position, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, then as we hit the air at 6, as the show kind of started and got off the ground, we come to find out in the last hour that baseball has made an announcement. Rob Manfred has left the cave. He is leading the charge. And now we have news. Jeff Passan from ESPN.com. Major League Baseball has asked the MLB Players Association if players can report to camp by July 1 and will sign off on health and safety protocols. The union has been asked to respond by 4 o'clock Tuesday. In other words, this is from Jeff Passan. Major League Baseball is planning on a season. So Manfred responds tonight. There he is, moving across the Emperor's lair.
He said, today the Major League Baseball Players Association informed us that they have rejected the agreement framework developed by Commissioner Rob Manfred and Tony Clark. Needless to say, we are disappointed by this develop. The framework provided an opportunity for MLB and its players to work together to confront the difficulties and challenges presented by the pandemic. It gave our fans the chance to see an exciting new postseason format.
Oh, yeah.
And it offered players significant benefits, including...
Great benefits.
And he talks about the DH for 2 years, playoff pool, $25 million, all that good stuff, blah, blah, blah.
Have a DH.
Blah, blah, blah. In view of this rejection, the MLB clubs have unanimously voted to proceed with the 2020 season under the terms of the March 26th agreement. The provisions listed above will not be operative. In order to produce a schedule, in order to produce a schedule with a specific number of games, we are asking that the Players Association provide us by 4 p.m. Central. I'm converting for people who live in the Midwest. By 4 p.m. Central tomorrow.
I just said 4 p.m. Central earlier.
With two pieces of information. Information.
So there's demands that need to be met.
We have two demands. The first is whether players will be able to report to camp within 7 days by July 1st. The second, whether the Players Association will agree on the operating manual, which contains the health and safety protocols necessary to give us the best opportunity to conduct and complete our regular season and postseason.
So tomorrow by 4, we'll find out if we have baseball. Is that what
maybe
what's
like? Because players are starting to respond now. Brett Anderson of the Brewers said, "What happens when we all get it?"
Well, I mean, listen. I mean, where and when? I thought that was the...
What happened? Where and when?
And when was the whole thing with the players? You have been told now. Where and when?
2 weeks ago, this hashtag started. Where and when? Where and when? Where and when? And so tonight, you didn't know when I was going to stop.
No,
that one guy
I gave you. I gave you the additional. Yeah. I hit the table one extra time. I was off the beat. Yeah, so I will take the L on that one. I absolutely will.
And then Rob Manfred came out tonight and said July 1st at your respected camp. And now the players are like, but wait a minute.
Miasma.
But wait a minute. What about the protocols? Well, they've been developed these protocols. You agreed on the protocols. They're in the operator's manual. They're in the manual. Read the instructions. Read the instructions. The instructions are there. The protocols are there. Wear a mask. Wash your hands. Show up 6 feet away. All that kind of stuff. It's all in there.
Can I give you an unrelated tweet to something we were talking about 10 minutes ago?
Why not?
John with no H tweets us at Chris Black and at Adam A. Abdallah. There was a pond by my work. I'd go get lunch, drive over there, sit and eat my lunch, and watch ducks and listen to the radio.
That's amazing. That's awesome. That's perfect.
Hashtag Team Pond.
Definitely Team Pond. I'm most definitely Team Pond.
That's great.
You want a good view for lunch. No one wants a bad view for lunch.
That's a great tweet.
Why do you think there's all these developments on the riverfront here for people to eat lunch?
That's a great tweet.
Because they're Team Pond.
All right, back to Manfred. Here he is. Moving across the Everest.
Do you think every night this year is going to be Star Wars night?
Well, I mean, okay, so if Manfred's leading the charge, who are the owners, the cronies right next to him? Because some of those baseball owners are old, right? Like, so they look like the Emperor.
Reinsdorf's pretty old.
You said it, I didn't.
What? You said some of them are pretty old. Reinsdorf is pretty old.
No, I know, but he's got, the Emperor has people listening. That's going to get back to Jerry, that you just said that he's old and he looks like the Emperor.
I never said that. I just said that he's old. That's all I said. He wants the season.
Is it the guy in St. Louis old?
Sure. I don't know. Ricketts isn't old.
No. He's one of those new style fighters, right?
Well, I mean, look, the Cubs did vote to play, but let's be real. Well, the Ricketts probably would have been fine if they didn't play. He said they're losing a lot of money, but...
All I can go off of is what was reported today, and the Cubs want to play. So I'll give them that. They wanted to play. The players want to play. No, but the Cubs, the owners, they wanted to play.
The owners did, but the players are one of the teams that voted to play.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's fine.
All right.
So, I mean, some of those baseball owners are pretty old.
They just want to see baseball, man. They just want to go to a pond and turn on the radio and listen to baseball and eat their lunch.
Well, no, the owners... have been trying to keep us from baseball.
No.
No.
They just don't want to pay for baseball.
Ah, I got it. They want to watch. They want to listen to the tunes of the summer.
Yeah.
The old-timey baseball on the radio.
Yeah, that's what they want.
Here comes a hurler with the pitch. There goes the ball. Going, gone.
July 1st.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I go too far?
No, I mean, it's just, I'm glad that we finally have a date and time. And,
maybe.
You know, this back and forth is just enough.
I'm wondering now, as we start to see a few player reactions trickle out, Well, I mean, look, yeah, they could just say no, and then we don't have a season. Like, the players could tomorrow by 4 p.m. just go, nope. And then we just don't have a season. First you wanted like 100 games.
Right.
And the owners were like 50 games. And then you were like, okay, 80 games. And then the owners were like 50 games. And then the players were like, okay, 80 games, but like we'll do this stuff along with it. And the owners were like, 60 games. And the players were like, 70 games? And the owners were like...
60.
No, what? We can't play... There's not enough days. There's 66 days until we can play. You want to play 70 games in 66 days?
Well, that's why the stall tactic by the owners has been brilliant.
Of course it is.
Because if they didn't really want to play 80 plus games,
they just wait.
The fact that the last 3 weeks have wasted all of our lives talking about this, they've waited the players out to now it's a point where you get the wear and win hashtag from the players. The only options that are viable are like under 70. And each day that passes, the only option that seems to be viable now is going to be the 60. And that's it. And the owners will get their way.
And then I think that, you know, what I told you on Sunday is that maybe the owners should just accept the 70 games, and just say, we'll take the 70 games, but this pandemic, my God, we can't play 70 games, but we'll agree to it. But just look at this pandemic.
Oh, we can't get there. We can't.
How are we supposed to go to Florida? How are we supposed to go to Arizona? They got 18% positivity rate. Just do that. Rich Ramey tweets us, couple weeks ago, I drove to the local forest preserve, parked, popped my hatchback, and stared at the trees. No pond, but team pond regardless.
So team pond, but he had no ponds. He just stared
Nick
at
George
the trees.
Tweets us, I've got a pond in my backyard. Other than the ducks that visit in the mornings, it's the biggest, it's biggest pain in the behind. Whatever, you live by a pond, you're team pond.
Yeah,
you've
team
chosen
pond.
To live there.
Yeah, you haven't. Yeah. Right, so the last guy, though, trees, he just stares at
just
the trees.
I mean, look, a couple of weeks ago, you drove to the forest preserve. You go just walk in the... You just... What's... If, look, you go...
Just go walk in the
woods. Why can't you just walk in the woods? What's the difference between walking in the woods and staring at the woods? Aren't you just staring at the woods, but with less physical effort?
You've heard about these people who ground themselves. Have you heard of this? The health craze where people need to get out to the grass, and then they need to, like, be with, like, their bare feet in the grass, and they need to lay down on dirt to ground themselves?
I live in the city. I don't know what grass is.
No. I'm being serious. Look it up on your computer. There are people that have to go out into a field and then ground themselves by laying in dirt. It's like a health thing. They feel like they center themselves with the universe and the whatever, the spirits and whatnot.
Next week on Cap and Company.
But are you suggesting
that's
that Cap
just something
will...
Danny and Cap will be telling everyone?
No,
to
Danny won't, but Cap might. If the right
one article he reads, or the right person tells.
Yeah,
him.
I can't say it. But if someone else was able to put it in front of him and suggest that it was something they were doing, because it can't be me. He wouldn't take my advice on it. But if someone else acted like it was their thing,
yes.
You could insult.
There are a few of us that if we give Cap an idea, he'll know that we're trying to incept him.
Yeah.
He'll know that it's...
He would know that I'm trying to pull something on him, that I'm suggesting he go out and lay in some dirt to center himself.
There are
people here that could do it, though.
There are people here that could do it. I'll talk to Waddle.
We'll get... Waddle's the one. All right, great.
Listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Dak Prescott has signed his $31.4 million exclusive franchise tender with the Dallas Cowboys. So the Cowboys avoid the fact that their quarterback will sit out of training camp. And also, they get him at the price for this one season. Now they have to kind of figure out whether or not they're going to sign Dak to a long-term extension for the long term for the Dallas Cowboys. And he's a quarterback that I feel like has high potential, top 10 potential in the NFL, but it seems like the Cowboys are unwilling to just automatically give the quarterback the money, even though they paid the running back and they paid a linebacker last season. And they paid basically everyone around Dak, even though Dak is the franchise quarterback.
Yeah, it's kind of not disturbing, but it's kind of weird that, you know, they wouldn't. It's so hard. You look around the league and how hard it is to find a good franchise quarterback, and Dak can be that guy for you. It's kind of mind-boggling that Jerry Jones wouldn't just pay him.
Yeah, right. Just pay him, because like here in Chicago, if we had Dak Prescott, we'd be thrilled.
Yeah, but it started with Dak too wanting some ridiculous offer that he was never going to get, and he kind of came down from that, and so you negotiate.
He's a talented player, though.
He wanted something ridiculous.
I mean,
you know, I don't think he was worth what he wanted. Didn't he want like $50 million a year or something like that?
I mean, that's what was reported originally. Yeah. But let's talk to Marcus Mosier from the Locked On Cowboys podcast. Follow him at Marcus_Mosier. Marcus, when you look at this whole situation, are you surprised that Dak signed the exclusive franchise tender today? Are you surprised it just took place?
Not at all. Ultimately, he's going to be the Cowboys quarterback for 2020. He was never going to sit out. This is more of a procedural thing. They're still going to work on getting a deal done before that July 15th deadline. But no, it's not surprising to see him sign that deal. And I wouldn't be surprised if he does play on the franchise tag. It sounds like his camp is maybe urging him a little bit to avoid signing a long-term deal now. And let's see what happens on a franchise tag for 1 year in 2020.
Now, every contract that's going to be signed is going to be looked at, you know, in the pandemic era. The NFL sure. has revenue sharing. How is that going to affect how much he wants and how much the Cowboys can give him?
It'll certainly affect it a little bit, but I think quarterback is a position that's going to be pretty stable from year to year. You know, Prescott, he's a smart guy. His agents are doing some pretty good things behind the scenes. They know that Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes are set to get new deals this offseason or into the season. They know that the new TV money is coming up here in the next couple of years, so that salary cap should probably rise, assuming there is a 2020 season. So his representatives are just telling him to be patient now. If you play one season on the franchise tag, it's very likely that next year, $40, $45 million is not out of the question for Prescott.
When you kind of look at Dak Prescott and his play with the Cowboys, how do you, like covering the Cowboys, how do you kind of view his play? Do you view him as a quarterback that can be each and every year a top 10 quarterback in the National Football League?
I do. I think he was already there last year. Now, at the end of the season, he struggled a little bit in some of those games against Chicago, Buffalo, and Philadelphia. He was dealing with a bit of a shoulder injury, but I think now that you have him in the Mike McCarthy offense, I think fits his style a little better. They've got receiving a ton of different receiving weapons now with Cooper and Michael Gallup and CeeDee Lamb. They're certainly going to throw the ball more than they have in previous seasons. Yeah, I think the sky is the limit for Prescott. We're only going into year five. His passing numbers have gone up just about every season. The efficiency is still fantastic. I certainly don't think it's outrageous to say that he's a top 10 quarterback. And in fact, I think you can make a pretty good argument that he's even higher than that based off what we saw last season.
How bad is the decision to pay Ezekiel Elliott going to look when you look at how much they can give Dak Prescott?
Oh, man, this is a fun question. I thought the deal looked bad at the time. I think it's only going to look worse. The further that you get down in this Mike McCarthy offense where, listen, he wants to throw the ball all the time. He doesn't want to be, you know, running the ball on every single first down. He doesn't want a single running back to get 25, 30 touches. So you paid a workhorse back, the most money in the NFL. Yeah, I think it's starting this year. I think that contract is going to start to hamper the Cowboys a little bit.
Marcus Mosier from the Locked On Cowboys podcast talking with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. You know, we were close to the Packers here in Chicago, so we know kind of what Packer fans think of Mike McCarthy. Are Cowboy fans fired up for Mike McCarthy? Because towards the end, Packer fans were not thrilled with McCarthy at the end of his run with the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, well, the thing is, he's not Jason Garrett, and that's basically that has Cowboys fans excited. Anybody but Jason Garrett is, you know, a welcome change. Listen, we know the flaws of McCarthy, but for the Cowboys, having a head coach that is kind of aggressive by nature and is willing to throw the ball more than they run, I think that's something that the Cowboys fans have been wanting for a decade. So he's not the perfect coach. He's not Bill Belichick. He's not Andy Reid. But can he be average? An average head coach would be quite the upgrade for the Cowboys right now.
Is there interest from the Cowboys in Jamal Adams? I know he wants to go there.
The Cowboys would love to have Jamal Adams. They tried really hard to make a deal at the deadline last year. They offered a first-round pick and a couple of veteran players. The Jets wanted more, so the Cowboys kind of backed off. But now that Adams is trying to go to Dallas, the Cowboys certainly are interested. We'll see what Dallas eventually offers because I do think we will get an offer from the Cowboys at some point in time. But make no mistake about it, the Cowboys are absolutely interested in Jamal Adams.
I know we're super early for the projections of the upcoming season, but I've already seen in a couple spots people suggesting that the Cowboys are going to be a playoff team. They go 8-8 last season. A lot of the skill position players are back, and obviously CeeDee Lamb was drafted, which will absolutely help. Do you think that this team hang into the season as a playoff team?
It's such a difficult question now. With the extra playoff spot this year, it's going to certainly be easier to get to the playoffs. I think the talent level suggests that they should be. They would have made the playoffs last year if they didn't have the worst special teams unit in the league. You know, they were 32nd in field goal percentage. They were awful in the punt game. They got a new special team coach in John Fossil, who should help quite a bit there. The defense is going to be a little bit of a problem, but if the offense can continue to be in the top five of scoring and top five in yards, they'll have no problem putting up points. But yeah, on paper, this absolutely looks like a playoff team in the NFC.
As far as what they can do in the division, you know, they didn't win the division, but they still made the playoffs. How do fans see this team moving forward next season?
Yeah, I think they're excited because of what this offense can do. It's still one of the better offensive lines in football. Mm-hmm. Grabbing a CeeDee Lamb at pick number 17 in the draft to pair him with Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, and then Ezekiel Elliott in that backfield. The expectations are high because of that offense. There's really no reason this team shouldn't average 28, 29 points a game. And now with a more aggressive offensive-minded head coach, bringing back Kellen Moore, fans are optimistic about this team for the first time in a long time.
Marcus Mosier from the Locked On Cowboys podcast talking football with us here on ESPN 1000. When you look at the Chicago Bears, they bring in Nick Foles through a trade this offseason. They still have Mitchell Trubisky. How do you view the Chicago Bears quarterback position heading into this season?
I think Foles is probably going to be the starter, right? You don't make that trade for Foles if you still want Trubisky to win that job. And look, I don't think Foles is fantastic. I don't think he's a top 10, 12 quarterback. But can he be average? I think he can be. And in Matt Nagy's offense, where the idea is to get the ball out of his hands quickly and get it to the playmakers on the outside and all the running backs that they have, yeah, I think Foles can be competent. And if they can have competent quarterback play with that defense and hopefully an improved run game, the Bears should be back in the playoffs. I mean, it was kind of surprising that they took that big of a step back last year. It's clearly a talented team. Competent quarterback play should get them back into the playoffs.
Thank you, Marcus. We appreciate it.
Yep, no problem at all.
That's Marcus Mosier from the Locked On Cowboys podcast. Find it on iTunes. You can follow Marcus on Twitter, Marcus_Mosier. So you look at the Bears and the Cowboys. I agree with Marcus. I mean, both of these teams are going to be fighting for that new playoff spot, the additional playoff spot. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the Cowboys. It's going to be the Bears. It's going to be probably either the Packers or the Vikings, whoever doesn't win the division. Then you're going to look down towards the Rams. They'll be in that conversation as well. Mm-hmm. Can the Cardinals jump up? Can they be a surprise team this year with Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury? And then when you look at the South, I mean, listen, we all know that the Saints are one of the four best teams in the league. Like, if you look at all the odds in Vegas, you look at all the preview packages on all the different websites, there are four teams that stand above the rest in all the previews, right? And those four teams are the two teams that were in the Super Bowl, and then you get to the Saints, and then you get to the other team that faced off against the Chiefs in the AFC, right? So it's the Chiefs, it's the Ravens, it's the Saints, and then you get to the 49ers. Those mm-hmm. are the teams you see in everything. I know that the Ravens didn't make the AFC championship game, but everyone assumes that they're going to be a powerhouse, right?
Yeah.
Those are the teams you see. And then when you get to the rest of the NFC, that's South. So you get the Saints. What the heck are the Falcons? Each offseason, you have all these fantasy football players that everyone raves about, yet they can never put together on the field and mm-hmm. actually win football games. Tampa Bay has Tom Brady.
You didn't mention the Bucs. Yeah.
I'm getting to it.
Okay.
Tom Brady and the Bucs. They go 7-9 last year. You add Tom Brady. You add Gronk. You have the offensive skill set players. You have a really good defense. You look at defensive yards per play. Tampa Bay is a top five defense last season. I mean, Tampa Bay is a team. Now, I don't like offseason hype, but when you kind of look at all things considering, 7-9, the Buccaneers are probably going to win at least 9 games, so they're going to be in that conversation. And Carolina, everyone says sucks, but I like Matt Rhule. Mm-hmm. I like Teddy Bridgewater. Mm-hmm. 5-11. That's probably not going to be a 5-11 team again.
No, I don't think they're going to be 5-11.
Closer to 500.
Yeah, I was going to say they could be an 8-win team, but I don't know if they're a playoff team just yet.
There's maybe a lot of good teams in the NFC.
They're very young defense. So can they put that together? They drafted all defensive players. So we'll see if it can come together for them. But I listen, Tom Brady and the Bucks. That's a good team. I think the Bears are going to be in the hunt for a long time. But ultimately, you could have two playoff teams already. Like, you had two playoff teams in the Packers and the Vikings. Like, are the Bears going to be? Is the division going to have three playoff teams? Are the Packers going to fall off? I don't think so. I mean, they still have Aaron Rodgers. The Vikings are going to be better. I don't know if I see it yet for the Bears. I still see a 500 football team.
But I think the Bears and the Cowboys are on the same plane
now. Yeah.
You know, they're in that grouping with the Rams. Like, the Rams could go either way, too. They could take a step back, or Sean McVay is the wonder kid, and he gets the most out of Jared Goff. And all those vets that they went out and signed to make a Super Bowl run, they actually put it together. So a lot of interesting angles to look at in the NFL. Coming up next, did you see this commercial from Ja Rule earlier today that went viral? He's kind of, he's doing commercials for a Greek deli.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. Takeout?
Yeah. Well, I assume they do takeout.
Okay.
With the pandemic and all.
Yeah.
We will hear from Ja Rule next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
On first glance, earlier today, a video went viral because Ja Rule is now promoting a Greek deli, like a local Greek deli.
Times are tough.
Ja Rule of Fire Festival fame.
Okay, first of all, Ja Rule.
Isn't that the most acceptable way to introduce Mr. Rule these days?
Rapper. Rapper.
Yeah.
Ja Rule, hit machine.
Yeah, with J-Lo. Back in the day.
J-Lo.
That was a jam.
Ashanti.
Yes, Ashanti, yes.
Come on. The Way You Move? Come on.
That was a good one.
Everybody knows. Everybody's got a Ja Rule. The Way You
Move. Yeah, I agree. That one. That's a good one. I'm with you. So
what
today,
would I do without you? What would I do without you? You know I love you. Everybody's got a Ja. You know what the Ja Rule is? Ja Rule is a sensual DMX. That's what Ja Rule is. He's sensual DMX.
Okay, I can see it because DMX is just a hyped up Ja Rule.
Yeah.
In your impersonation.
Yes, yeah. Because it's the same. Like, that's the gravelly voice. Is
yeah,
the same thing.
Take the gravelly voice and then, like.
Like, you're not going to be like, the way you move.
Yeah. so this video.
What would I be without you?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Right. Yeah.
You get the idea.
Yeah, I get it. So Mr. Rule, Ja Rule of Fire Festival fame. that's what the script says here. So this morning he went viral for this ad for a Greek restaurant.
I have not seen this.
A Greek deli.
I haven't seen the video. I have not seen this video.
There's a lot of wild things going on in the video.
Okay.
There's like
things
flying across the screen because it's on a green screen. So there's little guys flying around.
All right.
There's at one point there's an old guy that starts like mix rapping, but he's in the deli type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how it sounds. Here's Ja Rule promoting the Greek restaurant.
Your mama. Pop Christo's got the best motherfucking gyros, gyros you ever f***ing ate in your life. So good. Think more, think to you got to have Peters, Pop Christo, Peters.
They got everything. I'm going to just give you a rundown of some of my favorites. They got tzatziki. Octopi tequila. Whatever. But it's good. Apple Limano soup, copper pizza, and they got wine too. I'm telling you, come on down to Papa Cristo. You can't even pronounce the food, it's so good.
Show them what you're working with, Papa. Show them how you do it.
Hey, Papa, hey, where are you? Papa Cristo, are you here? Papa,
it's a rapping Papa.
I've synced up the video with the audio you're playing.
West
Boulevard Pico.
Two-screen experience, huh?
You can call right now and get it delivered. Papi Cristo's. Woo! Make you want to do the dance.
Now he's dancing. Yeah.
Opa!
Pretty wild, right?
Mm-hmm.
It went viral this morning, and people were like,
"As that's the point, yeah."
Wow, times are tough for Ja Rule. He's out here promoting a Greek deli. Okay, but if you actually read into it, this video was for a TV show that's going to take place tomorrow on TBS.
Oh, okay.
So the show is called Celebrity Show Off, from the producers of The Masked Singer. The biggest interactive celebrity competition of this season. So what it is they give celebrities, five celebrities will face off to see who can produce the most compelling content from the comfort of their own home. And you control who stays or goes. And the premiere is tomorrow night.
Okay, so who's in this?
I see like there's
besides
a picture.
Ja Rule.
I see. I don't know who that guy is. That looks like Tori Spelling. It looks like Dwight Howard.
Tori Spelling.
I don't know who that girl is. Oh, did you watch the show on Netflix with
this.
The Cheer Squad?
Turn your screen. Let me
did
see.
Did you watch the show with the Cheer Squad?
Oh, no.
That girl,
but I know who you're talking about.
The lead girl from. What is that show called?
Wait, Kevin Smith is right there.
I haven't gone to that side
yet. All right.
I'm going this side. This side.
All right. What's his face?
Dwight
is that the
Howard.
DJ?
That's Dwight Howard.
Who's the DJ down there at the bottom?
That's Ja Rule.
No,
right
the guy
there.
Underneath Ja Rule.
I don't know. Is that that's not Calvin Harris? What DJ would that be?
That's the other guy. The other guy. Not Calvin Harris. The other guy. The
Zed?
Other DJs. No, it's
Zed?
Not Zed. It's not Zed.
Not Zed.
He's Oh man.
Oh, you know, I could look at who they tagged. It's probably going to tell me the names. NeNe Leakes from Real Housewives fame from Bravo is in it.
Don't watch that.
You don't know who NeNe Leakes is?
No.
What about Jason Mraz? Jason Mraz
is in it? Diplo. Yeah. It's Diplo. It's Diplo.
Oh, it is Diplo?
Diplo. I knew it was a one-name guy. It's Diplo.
Okay. Kevin Smith is in it. Yeah.
Kevin Smith, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. I would imagine that Kevin Smith's going to win this. I mean, he's a director.
What's the name of that show on Netflix? The
Cheer.
Oh, that's who that is. Gabby Butler. She was like the lead character in that show. Did you watch that show?
No.
Eric, have you seen that show?
I'm aware of it, but I did not watch it.
Yeah, I know.
Can I give you a Blex Picks recommendation?
Don't watch it.
I didn't choose to watch it. It was just my wife was watching it, and then I started watching it.
Yeah, that's an eye roll.
Hold on. It's really good.
I'm sure it is.
It's really good. Like it's a good way to kill Friday night. Like you could roll through four or five episodes, just be done with it.
Mm-hmm, okay. Anyway, who else?
That's it.
Let me see.
I give you the names.
Let me see. Because you don't know celebrities.
Bella Thorne.
You
Bella Thorne's there, too. You know Bella Thorne?
You don't know celebrities. I know who Bella Thorne is. You don't know celebrities.
All right. Pick out can you pick out anyone else? That's NeNe Leakes.
Yeah.
She's from Real Housewives.
Is that? That's
Atlanta.
Rumor Willis.
Rumor Willis?
Yeah.
Okay.
Willis.
You're not talking into a mic.
They can hear me.
Not well. Not well at all. Yeah, that's it. We got them all.
Okay, yeah, that's it.
That's it. I don't know who that guy is, but he kind of looks like Marc Gasol.
Is it Marc Gasol?
It looks like Marc Gasol or Jonas Valanciunas, but I don't think Jonas Valanciunas would be on a TBS show.
Well, who's tagged in it?
He's not tagged. There's no.
I think Kevin Smith is going to win this based on, I mean, he could.
Oh, you know who that is? That's Travis Kelce.
Oh, you really? You don't know? You couldn't pick out Travis Kelce?
I thought that was Jonas Valanciunas.
They look alike. Now that you say that, like side by side, I can see that.
I thought Travis Kelce was Valanciunas.
I don't think. Actually, I don't think Kevin Smith is going to win this because it's the wrong audience.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah,
that's not the wheelhouse.
No.
So you know this video goes viral, right? And everyone's like, "Oh my God, look!
You can't even pronounce the food. It's so."
Yeah.
Wow. It was all for a show.
Yeah, of course.
It's not real.
Did you get got?
No. When I saw it, because it
well,
because like,
you played this
morning.
Didn't Cap play this today?
Yeah.
Get got?
No, I explained it on the air that was for a TBS show.
Okay, the moment
I saw it, it had already 2 million views this morning.
Oh, my
and
God.
And I was like, this is way... too accessible. Like
yeah.
Like something like if this was on basic cable, like in Rockford.
Yeah.
You know, like you would, it would only have a few thousand views when it starts to go viral.
It's been promoted.
Yeah, right. Like, like it's out there. So I was like, this is weird. And I clicked on Ja Rule's page and like he's promoting the celebrity show off show.
So is that his entry?
I don't know. I guess we have to find out tomorrow. You're going to watch this? I'm not going to watch this.
I'm not going to watch this. I just found out that Liv Tyler's in a show. What am I watching these shows for?
911.
What am I watching these shows for?
Well, we don't have live sports, so we're watching some good
911 Lone Star.
Yeah, no. Lone Star was promoted. We're watching 911. It's a Ryan Murphy project.
Wait, the Osbournes are back? What is this?
Well, I don't know what that is. No, it's a show where they're watching TV. These people watch TV. Have you not seen this show?
What are these?
You haven't seen this show?
What is on network TV these days?
This is a show where people watch a show.
Celebrity
and then they
watch
talk
party?
About watching the shows. Bravo's had this for a long time. I think E! Has a show like it too.
It's called Mystery Science Theater. Is that Rob Lowe? What is going on?
Yeah, he's in this show too. In 911. Yeah,
this
Rob
is,
Lowe.
Okay. This is what happens.
Did you not watch NFL football this fall on Fox?
I watched that, but I was just going to say.
These promos were there.
First of all, this is Lone Star because he's got the Texas flag in the background. So this is definitely 911.
So they were promoting Lone Star within Lone Star?
No, we've gone to the next hour. We've been on for 3 hours.
Oh, we have.
My point is, without sports, I don't know which bad shows not to watch.
Opa!
That's the problem with this. I don't get commercials for Lone Star. I don't get commercials for 911 to see that Liv Tyler's in it. I don't get commercials to see that Alyssa... Well, who is it? Was it Alyssa Milano was in the other one? No,
it was Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, from I Know What You Did Last Summer.
I still know what you did last summer.
Great
also,
Great movie.
And I don't know what bad shows to not watch because I don't have sports. I blame baseball, I blame football, I blame basketball. How am I supposed to know what to avoid?
Yeah, I mean, without Fox's NFL coverage, we would know what this is.
The best is when a game is on CBS.
What's the name of the robot?
Cletus the robot? Yeah.
Like, without Cletus the robot best... telling me what's coming up on Fox, how else would we know?
Is during the NCAA tournament on CBS where you get every show is about some faction of the military and like some super secret operative group, and it's like they're going behind the backs.
CBS has the shows that are all the most like the worst titles.
Oh my god!
Building.
I went to Florida once.
They have a TV show called Building. It's just people that work in a building.
I went to Florida once when my mom first moved there. To stay with them and to like, and it was raining out one night, so like we couldn't do anything, and so we sat inside and there was nothing on. There was no sports. There was nothing on, and
Sheldon.
What are you guys gonna do?
Please tell me you watched Young Sheldon.
We watched like Scorpion.
Oh yeah. They're like
it was.
Now, from what, like, I've gathered of the Scorpion show is that they work for the military.
Mm-hmm.
But is there a hint of magic involved?
I don't know. Because then it went to another show, and it was basically the same show, but under a different title. And I'm like, how is this a different show? There's one about a girl with a bunch of tattoos. She's got a bunch of tattoos.
She's got
a bunch of tattoos.
Codebreaker 906.
No, what is that? There's legit a show. She's got a bunch of tattoos.
I know what you're talking about, right?
Isn't it the girl with the dragon tattoo?
No. You would think. You would think like a TV adaptation.
Blind spot?
CBS
no,
show tattoo. Hold on, I'm gonna look it up. Tattoo girl. Blind spot.
Wow, Eric nailed that.
Eric was right.
That's a football movie.
Circle gets the square.
From way downtown, bang.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Thanks to Eric Ostrowski for producing tonight's show. If you want to hear podcasts where we talk about baseball with Zahid of Sharma or Marcus Moser talks Cowboys football with us, You can download the podcast, Black and Abdallah, on the ESPN Chicago app. Go to the Black and Abdallah section. You can listen to all the podcasts of our shows right there, and also find all the podcasts from here at ESPN 1000 right there on the ESPN Chicago app. I just want to mention this before we go tonight, Abdallah, because I think it's noteworthy. Talladega, the race finished earlier tonight when we were on the air. Ryan Blaney wins. It was a great final lap. The final two laps were overtime, and in NASCAR, the way that works is when you're under two laps to go at the end of a race and you get a yellow flag, a caution because of an accident, they implement an overtime. Basically, everyone gets back together as the pack, and then you go to a white-green finish checker, right? So then you get the one lap, and then the final lap is your final lap to the end of the race. So it was cool at the end because the final lap at Talladega keeps everyone together, especially when you're under caution before you get to that point. So you get a lot of racing in the final two laps, and everyone's coming around. You get guys, Eric Almirola finished third, but backwards.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah.
He went across the finish line backwards because there were guys that were bumping, moving all over the place. There were cars getting tossed out of the way. But the one I want to note is 14th. Bubba Wallace tonight finished 14th at Talladega.
He was as high as third at one point.
He was as high as third with like 10 laps to go. Mm-hmm. But like I said, with the caution, what happens is usually you can get in a pack in a streamlined straight line and two or three cars. Mm-hmm. You can, with the difference in the drag, you can kind of shoot up to the front. And so he just kind of got jostled around and then finished 14th. But, you know, as someone in the last 3 weeks, he didn't ask to be the face of a movement. You know, like Colin Kaepernick knelt and was fighting for something, but he chose to do that, right? Like Colin Kaepernick went out to be the face of saying that police brutality is not okay, and I'm going to hopefully lead change. Bubba Wallace was not someone who said, I wanted to be this. But you know what? In the last 3 weeks, he's been incredible. And in every turn, he is just very inspirational. I wish he would have finished a little bit higher than 14th. Like you said, he was very close to the top towards the end of the race. But, man, the grace that he has, and he easily is turning into my favorite racer. And I would imagine he has gained so many fans over the last couple weeks.
Yeah, I think that what he's been doing and bringing awareness to this cause, and what he's been doing for a sport that's had this tradition and the, you know, with the Confederate flag, and, you know, obviously you saw yesterday before the race was called, there was the plane that was flying around with the Confederate flag. There's still this mentality that it's part of heritage, right? And I think what's cool to see is not only what Bubba Wallace has been able to do, but the response around him from the drivers. You know, like not every driver and not every crew member had to push the car to the front of the line today and stand around him and stand around the car during the national anthem. You know, not every driver has to do this. Not every driver has to help this way. Not every driver has to bring attention to it. They're a community. They're a fraternity. They're all on the same team. Yeah, they're racing against each other, but they all know that this is a brotherhood. This is a, you know, a fraternity. All the other, a team. They're all on the same page here, right? They're all trying to get this. And when one of them is being attacked, it's great to see them all come together to help out and to further this cause. And hopefully they find this guy soon, because if they have all the, they brought in the FBI, they have all the footage and everything. But, you know, he said it after the race. He didn't wear a mask because he wanted the guy that put that noose there to see him smile, because it's not going to hinder him and it's not going to keep him down.
The leadership from Bubba Wallace over the course of the last 2 weeks is incredible. And when we look back on this time, we're going to remember the way he's responded and really putting NASCAR on the map.
Mm-hmm.
It's really something inspiring. So shout out to Bubba Wallace. Finishes 14th today at Talladega. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Black and Abdallah.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.